The great thing about urgency as well is that it's conducive towards conversion rate, and customers can add more products to their order after purchase. And so if they land in the app and they're editing their address, like why not show them the t-shirt they were looking at on site earlier for 10% off, and they only have 30 minutes to capture that offer. And so you can create really compelling scenarios with that blend of like incentive and urgency and the fact that they've already paid for shipping.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focus podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, each month we focus on a different marketing method like email or SEO or Facebook ads. And each week I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making that marketing method work for you. I love hearing from you guys, from our listeners. So when we get a lovely mention on social or someone emails me or DMs me on LinkedIn, I love to give them a shout out. This time the shout out goes to Naomi Davies, because Naomi did a gorgeous post about us having John Luma on the show. So Naomi, thank you so much for sharing our Facebook ads catch up with John Luma on LinkedIn. We really appreciate it. And I hope you've heard this and not crashed the car or run into a tree or any of those kind of things. Hope we haven't distracted you too much. And if you'd like one of these shout outs, then you know what to do. Email me, DM me, say something nice about us on social. This month, we are doing our annual dive into the things you need to know about before peak. And this time, we're doing a bit differently this time. We're going to be covering some, not necessarily marketing stuff, but stuff that will help you make your business better, things that I've been quite excited about this year. And we're kicking off with a piece of tech that I think is truly genius. And I don't know why you wouldn't already have it in place, because it just gives and gives and gives. So that's what we're talking about this one. We will be, we're talking about in the bigger picture, how you can improve post-purchase experience to make customers happy and drive those retention rates. And we're looking at that kind of like the half hour post-order placing. Sounds intriguing? It is. There is, as far as we can work out, only one piece of tech that enables you to do this, which is why you'll hear quite a few mentions about this specific piece of tech. But forgive us for not being more general, because I think you will forgive us for that when you hear what my guest has got to say. Do make sure you listen right to the end of this episode as well, because at the end of the interview, my guest is sharing some brilliant quickfire insider tips about generally improving your customer service and customer experience activity. Some stuff he's sharing I've never heard before. So you really, really, really want to stick around to the end so you catch that as well. Struggling to get your e-commerce business to the next level, especially with Black Friday around the corner? As the biggest shopping season of the year approaches, optimizing your online store can feel overwhelming. But don't stress. The Yoast SEO plugin for Shopify is here to simplify your SEO efforts during this busy period. Yoast takes the guesswork out of SEO, guiding you through best practices for optimal visibility. Get Yoast SEO for Shopify today. Visit keepopt.com/Yoast. Act now and save 10%. Use the code KEEP10, and that's KEEP10ANN at checkout to get a 10% discount on your first year of Yoast SEO for Shopify. This is only available in September 2024, and you must select the annual package. Start optimizing today and make the most of Black Friday. Go to keepopt.com/Yoast and use the code KEEP10ANN. In this episode, I'm chatting with e-commerce tech expert Hamish Mackay. Hamish is the founder of the surprisingly groundbreaking new e-commerce tool, Order Editing, now helping over 600 Shopify merchants to improve post-purchase customer experience. Hello, Hamish.
Hello, Chloe.
It's very cool to have you on the show. I have been, as I've said to you already, not quite stalking you on LinkedIn, but I've been reading a lot of your LinkedIn updates and hearing a lot about what you guys are up to. So it's brilliant to finally get on a call with you. And I should say that's my fault, not Hamish's. He hasn't been evading me. So how, though, did you end up in the world of e-commerce?
Yeah, it was 3 years ago, and I was a uni student, and I got a summer internship at a fashion and apparel studio for YouTubers. We would design, manufacture, ship to the customer service for like your Mr. Beasts and Carl Jacobs and Valkyries of the world. So these gaming famous YouTubers. And I was the customer experience manager there. Well, I lunged into a role supporting the founder and then quickly discovered a CX problem and fell in love with customers. And then that was me for 12 months managing customer experience across like 22 different Shopify Plus stores for these big YouTubers that were running supremely hyped pre-order drop models, selling like their face on t-shirts and all the rest.
Wow, that's like an epic internship to get.
There's a lot of lore.
That must have been, I mean, like that is, if you want to find some problems, running high intensity customer service for 20 e-commerce brands, you're going to find something, aren't you?
Yeah, it was a special time. It was like the best lunge into CX because it was the highest intensity environment that I think you could be in. Like I think a lot of e-commerce brands freak out about people posting bad Trustpilot reviews. Like that is a stone's throw away from what we were dealing with. Like no one looks up Trustpilot reviews. We would get blasted on Twitter if something bad would happen because these are internet kids. These are 16-year-old boys and girls who love their favorite Minecraft YouTuber, and they have a bad experience. Like the internet is hearing about it, and you can go viral on Twitter for strange things. So we had to be very careful and like loving towards them.
Well, and of course they, you know, your boss is posting stuff on YouTube. They can just comment on that, can't they? You know, you don't want the first comment on every YouTube video as it goes live to be someone going, "It never arrived," or, you know, "It was the wrong size," or any of that. It's just an absolute nightmare.
For sure. I mean, we're managing their reputation as well. Like getting thrown, like Mr. Beast has like 300 million people subscribed to his YouTube channel. And it was our job to make his fans have a great post-purchase and pre-purchase experience.
So let's talk about the post-purchase experience, because that's the bit which you've ended up creating, as I described in your intro, a surprisingly groundbreaking new e-commerce order tool. Because it's kind of mad that this was never existed before. So we'll talk about what it is in a second, and then we'll try and work out why no one's done this already. So what is it that order editing does to help that customer experience in the ordering process?
Yeah, so we let customers make amendments to their order after purchase. And that is full suite from an address change to applying the Welcome 10 discount code that got sent to their email too late, or adding more products to their order, or upgrading their shipping method from standard to express or to local pickup. Entire autonomy over that post-purchase experience, provided the brand gives them, like depending on what options the brand wants to give to the customer.
So the customer is doing the work of the customer service team, basically.
Exactly. Like for the last 20 years, if you bought something online and you auto-filled the wrong address, or you forgot your discount code, or you need to cancel your order, you would have to phone or email customer service. And they may take 4 hours to reply, they may take 3 days. It depends on what time of year it is. And that order may have already shipped to the wrong place or with the wrong products or whatever it might be. And we are putting that power back in the hands of the customer for a limited period of time so that they can solve their issue immediately and go about their day without any anxiety.
And is that, you say a limited period of time, so is that like 30 minutes, 3 hours? Does it vary from client to client? Is there a perfect window?
It varies a lot, and there's a lot of complexity that can get added into it. Some brands have it right up until they print the tracking label. That naturally doesn't work for someone who has a 3PL or an inventory management system or an ERP. For brands like that, we encourage them to launch with the shortest editing period possible, and that can be as short as 15 minutes, I think, is the lowest we've gone. And my advice is always to start small, and then if you still receive support tickets, start extending it out, because clearly it's not enough time. But our whole positioning statement is that you should never receive a support ticket again. And that's the measure that we judge like the effectiveness of our platform off, and the length of that editing period. Most sit at 30 minutes. So you're on the nose there.
I would guess that if I think back to the times when I've hit the buy button, hit the complete button and gone, oh God, I did, you know, as my accountant will attest, wrong credit card, Chloe. quite a good at that one. But like, wrong address, forgot the gift message, all those bits and pieces, or oh God, I meant to add. 9 times out of 10, probably 99% of the time when I do it, it is as I hit the button that I realize that I've screwed up. So I totally get that you can minimize the disruption. You know, the longer that time span is, the more potential disruption you've got as a company. But keeping it short probably grabs almost everybody in that scenario. As you were saying.
Yeah, and urgency is effective. And I know there's a lot of marketers that listen to this. Like, the great thing about urgency as well is that it's conducive towards conversion rate, and customers can add more products to their order after purchase. And so if they land in the app and they're editing their address, like, why not show them the t-shirt they were looking at on site earlier for 10% off, and they only have 30 minutes to capture that offer. And so you can create really compelling scenarios with that blend of like incentive and urgency and the fact that they've already paid for shipping. For the brand's benefit, like, your customer acquisition costs have already been spent. You've already spent all of the ad spend to get them onto the platform. Any additional revenue from there on out is significantly cheaper than your pre-purchase sales.
In my past lives, I've straddled the world of the info marketer, which is, you know, a slightly different part of the digital marketing mix. And anyone who's done any delving into the world of info marketing knows that the post-purchase upsell is a big money maker. You know, that's, you buy this course and then you've checked out and they go, add this bonus for only another $100. Like, 80 odd percent of people will take that addition. I'm making up the numbers, everyone. Do not go Google that. But it is a crazy number of people who will just go, yeah, sure, I'll grab that thing as well that you're selling for $80 instead of $800. And it has always amazed me, coming, you know, having experience in that world, how few e-commerce brands are doing that. So one of the big questions I wanted to ask you is, do you find that kind of that AOV increaser, is that something that's really delivering for those 600 people you've got using the tech? Or is it more about the reducing the cost? Because it's like, you've got the cost reduction side of the business by getting the errors fixed and saving the customer service time, and then you've got the AOV improvement upselling piece. What's the most attractive for your users?
Yeah, it's so dependent on order volume. It's like almost the sliding scale of what the brand will care about. And naturally, who you talk to also matters. A CX manager will be far more concerned about reducing that uplift, whereas the marketing manager will be like, oh, like, let's make more money. But the reason why I attribute it to orders and like that scale that you can kind of imagine is because 1.5% of your customers make a mistake at checkout. Like, almost a flat industry standard, doesn't matter what you sell and what location, it's somewhere between 1% and 2% make a mistake at checkout on Shopify. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine, if you ship out 100 orders a month, you're only dealing with 1 to 2 order change requests a month, which isn't a significant burden to you. And for them, they're actually really compelled by, oh, let's make some more money post-purchase. This is a really exciting email marketing offer that we can leverage. But as you start walking up that road and you start working with a brand that ships out 160,000 orders a month, like this retailer in Canada that we work with, they have 5,000 customers use our platform every 30 days and solve a ticket. And so for them, the upsell revenue is nice, but they're really talking about P&L and efficiency and being able to scale even further without just continuing to hire BPO support, because that's insane.
Yeah.
5,000 tickets is genuine insanity. That is like 2 full-time employees worth of work.
Yes.
Rough calculation in my head, but it's a lot.
And it's also something that could hold you back on expansion too.
For sure.
You know, it's one of those things you think, oh, we ought to do this, but we've got, you know, the customer service team are screaming because they keep getting people who've done this wrong or picked the wrong size and all the rest of it, and they're overworked and they're stressed. And we want to do this new thing, but there's no point in doing the new thing until we fix that problem. But how do we fix that problem? And historically, we'd have gone pre-buy button fixes, endless optimization of checkout, whereas actually, with your tool, we can now do, let the customer just fix it. So mechanically, does the customer get an alert on the order confirmation page to fix things, or do they get an email or an SMS? How are we alerting the customer to this urgency piece?
Yeah, so the optimized journey is that the customer checks out and they land on Shopify's thank you page, and immediately our components will load out saying, verify your address details, change product color or size, or whatever the options that you have enabled to them. If there's an error in their address, we'll flag it using Google Maps API. If they close that thank you page tab, which a lot of customers do on mobile, for example, they just like switch off their phone, will then be in the order confirmation email that automatically goes out after purchase, has a disclaimer, has a button that links to the app. And then the optimum experience is that you either, and this is where it gets interesting around the brand size, we find that merchants that do over more than 30,000 orders a month, where order edits is a real issue, they send out an email that says, please double check your address and order details. You only have X amount of time to edit. And the brands that do less than 30,000 orders a month that are more inclined towards upselling, will say, there's space in your package, Chloe, to include another item and save on shipping. Add anything, our best sellers are 10% off for the next 10 minutes. And that's that final touch point that just drives usage to the portal. And we find that when that third touch point is live, you'll have 10, 15% of your customers going into our app and making some form of change. And 10% of the time, that'll be buying another product.
It's just such a no-brainer, which is why, you know, whether you're the smaller brand who wants to, you know, get a bit more AOV to make those cost of acquisition spread further, you know, to increase the profitability per order, whether you're, you know, the brand who wants the bet, you know, who's got, trying to do the cost reduction, or whether you're just someone who clearly realizes you've got to create a better customer experience, it's just like, why wouldn't you? Hence why we invited you to be part of this particular topic month on Keep Optimizing. So let's come back to that surprisingly groundbreaking. This is such a no-brainer. Mm. You must have been sat there working in your internship going, how do we fix this? What? And then gone kind of like, there can't be an opportunity for this. How did you end up coming to do it? And how surprised were you to find nothing was already solving this problem?
Yeah, it was such a unique time. I think like psychologically, like me as a human, I wanted to start a business and I was actively looking for these holes to fill. And it was all I ever thought of, like, this is my dream. So I was looking for those things, and I was always a kid who put up his hand and like would call out an issue. To the actual model of our business and why I think we were so, like why I was in a fortunate position to notice this problem before anyone else, is that we had the perfect blend of extremity. We had a very simple shipping setup with Ship Hero, where if I updated an order in Shopify, Ship Hero would read the change, and there was no reason for some convoluted integration. So the product felt relatively simple to build. And then we blended that with the fact that we were running a pre-order model for famous YouTubers, where the majority of our customers were under the age of 16. And that does two things. One is that there's a higher propensity to make a mistake at checkout, especially because often they're buying with their mum's card and they don't have permission, and that's a canceled order. And another is that you have a pre-order, so you have a really long period of time, 3 months, and people move house and people break up with their girlfriend or their boyfriend or whatever it is. And we also had this hype model where we'd have 1.5 million kids go onto a site within an hour, would receive 40,000, 50,000 orders, and we'd wake up as a CX team to like 1,000 tickets in one bunch, which is pretty unique. Other fashion retailers have it more spread over a period of time. It was like Sunday morning was order editing time. And so as soon as I saw that, I was like, I did the math. I pulled our ticketing data. It was 30% of our tickets because of how we were structured, which is about double the industry standard. It's usually about 10, 15%. And I thought, we use loop returns for self-service returns. We should build loop returns for order editing. But it didn't actually strike me as a real commercial opportunity until I started leaving that business and I could see the impact that it had on our store. And for us, like running estimated math, it was about $80,000 US that we saved in staffing costs by self-servicing all of those tickets. Because we had, I think it was something like 36,000 customers use the app in a 12-month period, which is a lot of manual labor.
It is, and a lot of miserable manual labor if you're all stuck in the office on a Sunday morning dealing with annoying stuff, which you're like, why couldn't they have just placed the order correctly in the first place, you know?
100%. And it's the least meaningful work. Mm. I love customer experience. And like when you're that type of person, you get joy when customers reply to you and they say, thank you so much. Like, oh my God, you delivered a great resolution, and they give you a review. No one does that when you change their address because it's not a meaningful interaction. It's just an expectation. And I think that's where it's really disappointing for brands that don't, particularly large ones, where they have these policies that say you can't make a change to your order after purchase, because it's like a genuine, like it's a requirement. And it's brutal, but I honestly think like if you have a policy that says we can't change your order after purchase, it goes to our warehouse too quickly, like I think that looks incompetent to your customers. And that's where I see a lot of bad Trustpilot reviews saying like they couldn't even change my address. They just shipped it to the wrong place and told me to return it. And that's depressing.
Well, and it's bad news for everybody. Well, actually, it's a bit bad news for the customer. It's bad news for the company on about 20 million different levels. Because you've got demoralized customer service staff dealing with the interactions. You've got additional cost in terms of you've sent the order to the wrong place. You've got additional cost in terms of a customer who's probably not going to come back and buy again because they're annoyed about you the first time. It's just, you know, for doing a system pause on an order for 30 minutes before you send it to the warehouse and enabling, you know, even if you're not going to put in place software that enables the customer to order, you know, to change it, to pause an order for 30 minutes before it goes to the warehouse to give your team that bit of bandwidth to amend things. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer, everybody. Hamish, who is there anyone this doesn't work for? I mean, you've talked about how the small businesses use it primarily for the upsell capability. And then as businesses get bigger, they realize more and more and more of those CX and cost saving and happy customer service team gains. Is there anyone it doesn't work for?
Not really. But I think like in terms of meaningful results and where our customers gush over using the app and advocate for it, we have such strong fit when you do ship more than 20,000 orders a month. And there's like a meaningful impact on your customer service department and your operations and just the general sentiment within the company and your community. And that's where it's a really, really meaningful product. Under there, like the results are still there and it's a liftoff. And I know that there are a lot of founders who do customer support tickets themselves. And I don't want to know what the cost, like how much your time is worth, but it's not worth doing that. So you find meaningful impact everywhere, but I 100% think that where we have the most love is with like the larger the e-com brand gets, the more it's impossible to ignore.
So over 20,000 orders, you have very, very lots and lots of very, very happy customers. And then under that, it's if there's that pain point. So your AOVs are too low. If you as the founder have had enough of changing people's postcodes. That's the point at which you need to do this. Love that. Hamish, is there anything we've missed that we should have said to people about that immediate post-purchase potential joy moment that's going to help our businesses?
I want to press again on the opportunity that post-purchase upsell presents. Like you have never, ever emailed your customer and said, Chloe, there is space in your package to add another item. And like put yourself in the shoes of that customer. And think about how compelling that copy is to think like I'm wasting space in my box. I could just slip another dress in there. It works. It works and it's fun and you can get designed around it and like drive your customers a bargain. Don't let your experience stop after checkout. Prompt them to add more products to their order because CAC's already been spent and it's just like a quick win.
Yeah. And a potential profit game changer.
For sure. For sure.
Okay. Thank you so much, Hamish, for telling us all about that. I think it's hopefully opened many of our listeners' ears to some potentials that they could get in place before peak that will improve, as we've run through multiple times, many different aspects of the business, both short-term and long-term. Listeners, stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Hamish's insider tips and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business. Struggling to get your e-commerce business to the next level? Especially with Black Friday around the corner? As the biggest shopping season of the year approaches, optimizing your online store can feel overwhelming. But don't stress. The Yoast SEO plugin for Shopify is here to simplify your SEO efforts during this busy period. Yoast takes the guesswork out of SEO, guiding you through best practices for optimal visibility. Get Yoast SEO for Shopify today. Visit keepopt.com/Yoast. Act now and save 10%. Use the code KEEP10, and that's KEEP10ANN at checkout to get a 10% discount on your first year of Yoast SEO for Shopify. This is only available in September 2024, and you must select the annual package. Start optimizing today and make the most of Black Friday. Go to keepopt.com/Yoast and use the code KEEP10ANN. Okay, Hamish, so far we've gone deep into that super awesome tool you've built to improve that immediate post-purchase experience. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of e-commerce, I suppose. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with e-commerce, which of course does include all those things we've already been talking about. So Hamish, you ready for these?
I am ready.
Excellent. Let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
Yeah, mine's a customer experience tip. And one thing I've noticed is that there's not a lot of oversight on the expenses around your support department. I implore you to ask your customer experience manager or go in yourself and get a metric on what your cost per ticket is. So how much every single individual email costs you. Get the calculation on that and gauge whether or not you're happy with it. The industry standard is about $2.50 or about £2. If you're significantly above that, like, please do look at your macros, get a consultant in, or go and do some research, but get that cost per ticket down, because that will eat you alive. And whether it's outsourcing, whether it's automation, whether it's self-service, whether it's improved macros, or just like team efficiency and who you've actually got running your support department, take a look at your cost per ticket, aim for £2. Some people I know are at $6 or $7, and that is not okay.
That's, I was thinking £2 sounds a bit, I'm sure there's people listening, £2 per email. Then you think about it and you're like, oh, okay, but £6 or £7, that's the profit gone on an order.
Genuinely.
Easily.
Genuinely.
Yeah. Love that tip. Okay. Once you've got started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Yeah. Get geeky. Get super geeky about your customers. I think a lot of people just run their help desk and gauge sentiment by what comes in through your support department. You are blind to where 70% of your customers are talking about you. Get into Reddit, go onto Instagram, like, look at the people who, like, your influencers that post your products, see the comments, read through what the sentiment is. And if you've got great news in there, like, share it with the team and boost morale around that. And don't just like blind yourself, because it is a blind spot for a lot of brands. And if it's bad sentiment in there, go and address the problem and make that a new OKR to uplift. Like, to be brutally honest, we had a real sentiment problem when we used to run customer experience for these YouTubers. And I would have had no idea if I wasn't scouring Twitter and searching up our brand name and searching up like specific keywords. And I know there's a lot of brands that don't do that, whether or not they don't want to know the truth, or whether or not they're unfamiliar with like where most of your customers actually engage, which is online and in these niche forums. But take a look and address it.
Yes, it's fine. I guess it's finding those things where, as you saw, like, I'm sure there were people going, YouTuber X, we love, but their product team type stuff. So there's like this, and you want them to not even think about the product team. You want them just to think brilliant things about that particular YouTuber. And I think brands, I'm sure we've all had conversations about brands we buy from, where, yeah, it's great, but their sizing's always a bit off. Or, yeah, they're great, but they do keep using insert annoying courier here, and they won't give me another option. And tracking down that kind of stuff, you don't want them to say your brand is great, but, do you? You want the 100% no buts scenario.
So,
love that piece, Hamish. Thank you. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
Yeah. I mean, the free resources that I love, I'm a writing nerd. I love newsletters. Luke Hodgson at Commerce Thinking has a beautiful newsletter around tech. Eli Weiss at Yotpo also has a great newsletter around customer experience, both free to subscribe to. A meaningful resource that we put in place and that I lived by when I was working brand side was actually mystery shopping. Go and buy products from the brands you admire and send them a fake support ticket and see how they respond to you and learn from that. I laugh when I see things go viral on LinkedIn of like how a brand launched this type of campaign. I'm like, you could have found that out weeks earlier if you bought a product, and kind of like steal that information and copy it with taste and put it towards your brand language and create your own positioning around it. But you'd be shocked at how beautiful some people run their e-com businesses, and like, you've got to take a look.
Love that. A bit of mystery shopping.
R&D almost.
Yeah. A bit of mystery shopping of the competition. We've had Luke Hodgson on the podcast before, and I have failed to sign up for his newsletter. So I clearly need to go and do that. And I missed the name of the other guy you mentioned. Who was the other guy?
Eli Weiss. He's the retention advocate at Yotpo.
Excellent. So there you go, everybody. Go get signed up to Luke and Eli's newsletters. We'll make sure there's links to those for you in the show notes. And finally, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
I hate that I'm about to say it, but it's obviously AI. And I think it's probably tailored towards conversational AI. And there's a lot of AI around that, like, immediately will solve tickets or immediately communicate with customers and then palm it off to other people, palm it off to a human. I would encourage you to be an early adopter of AI conversational tech, whether it's solving support tickets and doing work there, whether it's actually on your storefront, engaging with customers before they check out and trying to increase conversion rate. One thing that Gorgeous does beautifully that I know a outsourcing agency, Talentpop, leverages is they set up intents and they trigger these automations where if a customer is sitting on a product page for too long, a chatbot pops up and initiates a conversation with them and immediately ties in an agent if they start engaging. And soon that'll all be just entirely artificial intelligence. But I think that is brilliant. We were talking about Nibble just before, the negotiator. Another just brilliant use case for engaging your customers while they're on their site before they buy. Because right now they're all alone out there. And you got to have a bit of fun with them and encourage them and nudge them towards the checkout and make it engaging for them. Gamify it.
I love those answers. We did a webinar all about customer service strategy a couple of months ago. And the big thing, one of the really big things that came out of that was you can't just apply AI to the whole customer service piece or any, you know, you can't apply it to the whole of e-commerce, but finding those little areas where it works and where it can deliver, like Nibble, like delivery updates, you know, delivery update, inbound inquiries, deploying it in the places it can currently do great work for you is an absolute no-brainer. So I love that crystal ball answer. Thank you, Hamish. But we've just mentioned a whole load of other tech, but you're here obviously to talk about your tech. So Hamish, those who are listening, especially those doing over 20,000 orders, who are listening, who are going, we need some of that joy in our business and for our customers. Where can they get in contact with you and your business and find out more?
Yeah, you can email me anytime at hamish@autoediting.com. We build in public on LinkedIn is probably the best place to find us and engage with the journey. We're sharing the whole story. So it's literally just my name, Hamish Mackay, M-C-K-A-Y. Otherwise, it's autoediting.com and the app store's there. You can book a demo through that website and I'd love to meet you. And if there's one key takeaway, big brands, ask a customer experience manager, how many support tickets do we receive? And the other key question you should ask them is, do you always respond to those tickets before the order gets picked? I'm finding more and more I talk to these merchants that do $50 million a year or $100 million a year GMV, and they don't say, they say the pain isn't that we receive a lot of support tickets, like that's an issue. But the real issue is that our help desk is imploding and I can't change a customer's address in time and we just ship it to the wrong place. Or I can't change the color of their shirt or the size of their shirt and they just initiate a return. And returns are super topical. So take a look at your help desk, get honest about it. And if you have a problem, Hamish Mackay.
Awesome. Hamish, it has been brilliant chatting with you. Thank you so much for sharing so much insight with all of us. It's been awesome chatting with you. So thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Much love. I hope it was helpful.
So a big opportunity there to reduce costs, increase customer experience, increase those AOVs by enabling customers to do something as simple as edit their order just after they've placed it. The gains are huge. The implementation is not particularly complicated. This particular tech we were talking about is Shopify only at the moment, but I'm sure there may be, some of you may be listening to this going, I know how we could do that ourselves. In which case, yeah, go do it. Make all those improvements happen in your business. And there is there's a big piece at the moment around shifting our focuses towards retention. There's an awful lot of very cool tools out there to help you improve your post-purchase, whole post-purchase experience as well. So some good ways in this episode on how to improve those retention rates. Right, you can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. Or you can use our special direct episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/ the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the correct episode page. When you get to the website, please do make sure you add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of those other things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. All this month, we're going to be focused on things you need to do to be ready for Q4. This has been a really cool thing you could get in place to make all those improvements we talked about earlier. And we've got two more deep diving episodes like this one coming up this month. And then we will be wrapping up with our annual Black Friday top tips special. So make sure you are following us so you get all of that. And if you know other fellow marketers who need to know about this show, please do tell them because we want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing, your e-commerce businesses, and your all-important holiday season performance this year. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Don't forget to get your 10% discount on Yoast SEO for Shopify. Visit keepopt.com/Yoast, select the annual plan, and use the code KEEP10ANN. That's KEEP10ANN.